Hello, everyone. This is Vice Chair Hassan. Chair Richardson regrets that she's unable to be here today because of a personal matter. I'll be chairing the committee today. Pursuant to House Rule 10.1, I call this a remote meeting of the Education Policy Committee in order. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Richardson, Vice Chair Hassan,
Here.
Representative Erickson,
Present.
Representative Drazkowski,
Here.
Representative Bennett,
Present.
Representative Berg, Representative Bowe,
Present.
Representative Christensen,
Present.
Representative Edelson,
Present.
Representative Feist,
Present.
Representative Frazier,
Present.
Representative Jordan,
Present.
Representative Keeler,
Present.
Representative Moeller,
Present.
Representative Mueller,
Present.
Representative Poston,
Present.
Representative Scott,
Here.
Representative Erdahl,
Present.
Representative Wasliwick,
Present.
Thank you, Ms. Ellen. Rep. Edelson, have you had a chance to look at the minutes from February 10?
Yes, I have, Madam Chair, and I will move the minutes.
All in favor of the minutes from February 10, please say aye.
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 All opposed? The minutes are approved. Members, today we have in front of us House File 561, Rep. Ordahl's bill. Rep. Ordahl, would you like to move your bill? I believe it's going to Education Committee. Is that correct?
Yeah, I will move the bill. I'm not sure where it's going. But I move the bill and send it wherever it needs to go.
Excuse me, it's going to Education Finance.
Okay, that's what I thought. Thank you.
You know, my question is, there's no money in this bill. But whatever.
Laura, do we know why it's going to Education Finance if there's no money attached to it?
I can look into it. Otherwise, if there's a question, we can certainly just lay it over as well.
Okay, we can talk about that later. I will present the bill then.
Okay. So Representative Otto moves his bill to be laid over possibly, or it's going to Education Finance Committee. We'll figure that out. Representative Otto, to your bill.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I will just say that I think last time it was laid over for possible inclusion when we passed this 2 years ago. House File 561 expands the mentoring provisions currently in statute. It requires the adoption of a mentoring program for new teachers and makes staff development money an eligible source of funding. We lose 40% of our new teachers in the first 5 years. I believe that more support in those first years would help retain and lead to better teachers. We've already recognized the need for mentoring in our Teachers of Color bill. Teacher mentoring programs are now perceived as an effective staff development approach for beginning teachers. By establishing teacher mentoring programs, school districts serve two purposes. Novice teachers are given a strong start at the beginning of their careers, and experienced classroom teachers serving as mentors receive recognition and incentives, including the satisfaction of helping a new teacher become better. This bill directs the Commission of Education to collaborate and help in the implementation of mentorship programs, but there remains discretion and flexibility for the local school districts. In past renditions of this bill, I was more prescriptive, but questions arose about what the mentorship plan should look like. What good plans are school districts currently using that could be adapted? Thus, with agreement from education stakeholders, Education Minnesota, the School Board Association, the Association of School Administrators, Minnesota Elementary School Principal Association, and the Minnesota Association of Secondary School Principals, they will collaborate with the Department of Education to formulate a model mentoring plan that our school districts will have the option to choose if they wish. There are many personal examples of the success of mentorship programs. Let me quote one teacher. Today, my success as a teacher, not to mention the lives of all the students I hope I've inspired, is directly related to the caring, high-quality mentorship I received during my first year of teaching. Without it, I would have become another statistic, quitting after my first few years on the job. Okay, this is an important piece of legislation. All we're trying to do is develop a consistent model for mentoring new teachers across the state of Minnesota that school districts can use if they choose to do so. And it makes staff development funding available if they choose to use it. So I urge your support for the bill. Thank you.
It's my understanding you don't have any testifiers. Is that correct?
I don't have any testifiers. I know that Ed Allies at our last meeting did have someone that wanted to testify. If they're available, I guess that's an option, but I don't have anyone scheduled.
Okay, we'll move to public testimony. I believe Matt Schaefer is from Ed Allies is testifying.
Yep. Good morning, or good afternoon, everybody. Chair Hassan, members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is Matt Shaver, Policy Director at Ed Allies, and I'm here to testify in support of HF 561. Thank you, Representative Erdahl, for your leadership on this important issue. Mentorship programs sound like really good ideas in a policymaking space, but they're actually incredibly difficult to do well in practice. They're a worthy endeavor, but require a clear vision, thoughtful standards, and investment to get right. Ed Allies has been a strong advocate of high-quality mentorship, but has had concerns that licensure policy required teachers to complete district mentorship programs, but didn't require districts to provide mentorship. HF 561 is a remedy for these challenges. When I started my teaching career, I wanted to be the kind of teacher my students deserve from day one, and not someone who was making mistakes at the expense of kids. So after undergrad in Minnesota, I moved to Boston to join an associate teaching mentorship program. Danielle Blair, a Spelman grad and future principal, was my mentor, and she raised me as an educator. She taught me how to run a classroom, what high expectations for students looked and felt like, and deepened my understanding of content unlike anything I experienced in student teaching. Ms. Blair is an incredible person and educator, and still, it was the program that provided the structure for her and the other mentor teachers to operate in that made it so successful in developing teachers. Associate teachers had their own professional development, and so did mentors. We did film study of our toughest parts of the day so we could get the feedback we needed to grow for our students. And a great teacher does not automatically make a great mentor. They need development and support as well. So mentors watched each other's associate teachers and developed feedback aligned to a rubric of what our school determined strong teaching looked like. We had a culture around observation and feedback that was about growth rather than gotchas. With purposeful planning at the state level like HF 561 requires, we can do that in Minnesota too. I'm gonna highlight some specific areas in HF 561 that Ed Allies supports. Line 2.10 that would require school districts to develop mentor programs. This is a small but mighty shift that would provide a solution to the current conflict between statute and rule. In 2017, the Professional Educator and Licensing Standards Board passed a rule that requires all teachers participate in the employing district or charter school's mentorship program in order to maintain their licensure. However, neither statute nor rule requires a district or charter school to have a mentorship program. State law only encourages schools to have them. With teachers currently required to participate in mentorship and schools only encouraged to provide it, many teachers can find themselves unable to renew their licenses through no fault of their own. HF 561 fixes that. Lines 3.8 through 3.15 that would require the collaboration of multiple stakeholder groups to develop a model and best practices for mentoring. At their best, teacher mentorship programs have been proven to increase teacher retention and job satisfaction and can also lead to better instructional practices that result in increased student achievement. At their worst, they're an exercise in box checking. HF 561 requires Minnesotans to come together to make sure we do mentorship well. High quality mentoring programs can be a difference maker in teacher development and in the academic success of students. This bill would elevate the practice of mentorship by requiring all districts and charters to provide mentorship, serve as a technical fix to our licensure policies, preventing any teachers from falling through the cracks, and develop a clearer picture of what these programs can look like. Ed Allies believes HF 561 is a step firmly in the right direction. I want to thank Representative Erdahl. I want to thank members of the committee for hearing it. And thank you all for your public service.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Do we have member questions? Representative Erickson, I see that you have your hand up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Mr. Shaver. if you would be willing to answer a question.
Sure.
Thank you for testifying. Do you know how many of our QCOMP schools have an organized mentorship program?
Chair Hassan and Representative Erickson, thank you so much for the question. I don't have that information on me. I apologize.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you.
You have a follow-up?
Yeah, I didn't mean to stump the testifier, but I think, you know, that QCOMP is the perfect vehicle for mentorship programs in our districts. But do you have a copy or a document that you can share with us that illustrates the program that you studied under and used in Boston? I mean, I would be so curious to see what that includes, because I was a mentor during most of my teaching career with beginning teachers, you know, and besides working on discipline issues and how to handle a classroom, time management, and then of course, getting right down to the nitty gritty of, you know, how to present lessons. And, you know, it can be just overwhelming sometimes for a new teacher who maybe has a new assignment different from student teaching, and they need to be almost re-educated in that new level. So, you know, if you have that document, I'd love you to share it with us and with the department as well, because it's good for them to see what is happening out there that's really quality. Thank you for your testimony.
Mr. Shaver, do you have a comment?
Sure. Chair Hassan and Representative Erickson, thank you so much for your question and your comments. Yes, I can absolutely share what that program looked like, and definitely agree that while undergrad serves as a nice foundation, it is incredibly helpful to have somebody whose job it is to ensure that you are developing as a teacher once you're firmly in the classroom. So I'll be happy to share that with the committee and with MDE.
Thank you, Mr. Shaver. Any other questions? I don't see hands. Oh, Representative Ford.
thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a question for the author. I'm wondering, could you tell me your thoughts on the value of requiring mentorship rather than just offering it for those that are interested? For example, I was offered a mentor as I came into this job, and I was happy to have a mentor. But what is it about the requirement that's important to you? Thank you.
Rev. Otto?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. Well, first of all, the fact that we are losing 40% of our teachers in the first 5 years, in their first 5 years. This means that they are not getting the support that they need. At least that's one of the components. They're not getting the support that they need to succeed in the classroom. And by making it required that the school offers a mentorship course instead of encouraging, as Mr. Shaver pointed out, there are areas where we are requiring that teachers have a mentorship program, but that doesn't always correspond with a school district having the program for them to take. So what we're trying to do is to develop a consistent model that is brought forth by these education stakeholder groups that can be used by school districts across the state of Minnesota if they choose to do so. If they've got a better program, that's fine. But in terms of requirement, I think that is important in terms of making it consistent, and also important to make sure that our new teachers do have that support that I think is greatly needed and missing in a lot of our school districts.
Thank you. Representative Berg, do you have a follow-up?
I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. So one of my concerns, and first of all, both my parents are teachers, and education is a passion of mine from a personal space with my own children. So I'm just trying to get a better understanding. As I've been speaking with a lot of teachers in my district and a lot of voters about this, but for example, conversations with my teachers, there comes up a lot. There's a lack of prep time. They go from class to class to class to class. Their class sizes are huge, you know, 25, 30 students, it's hard for them to take an extra moment out of their day to do anything other than plan for their next class and prepare their next lesson. What were your thoughts around the time requirement on this? Are they required to meet with their mentor? I mean, our teachers don't have enough hours in the day as it is. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that piece of it. Thank you.
Rep. Otto.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Berg. Several things. First of all, this is, again, for new teachers. Veteran teachers don't have to have the mentorship program. I'm talking about those teachers in those first 3 years who are probationary teachers for the most part. And this is not, I'm not looking that veteran teachers be assigned to do this. It's their choice. If they believe that they have the time, if they can spare the prep time or whatever time this comes out of, then if they're willing to do it, they can do it. And in terms of the timing of this, part of what I'm talking about will be developed by the committee that's going to make the recommendation. So, I mean, I honestly don't see this as a, Representative Berg, I was in the classroom for 35 years. There is time to help out new teachers if you choose to do so.
Thank you. Any other questions? I don't see any hands up. So, Representative Otto, I'm told that Education Finance wants to hear this bill. So with that, we're going to renew your motion to refer House File 561 to the Committee on Education Finance. Ms. Ellen, would you take the role?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's always nice to have my bill wanted by another committee.
That's a good sign, I would say.
Chair Richardson, excused. Vice Chair Hassan?
Aye.
Representative Erickson?
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Berg?
Aye.
Representative Bowe?
Aye.
Representative Christensen?
Aye.
Representative Edelson?
Aye.
Representative Feist?
Aye.
Representative Frazier?
Aye.
Representative Jordan?
Aye.
Representative Keeler?
Aye.
Representative Moeller?
Aye.
Representative Mueller?
Aye.
Representative Poston?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Erdahl?
Aye.
Representative Wasliwick? Representative Wasliwick? Madam Chair, there are 16 ayes and one nay.
Thank you, Ms. Allen. Representative Ardall, you are on your way to Ed Finance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Members, next we have House File 351. This was originally scheduled to be heard on February 10, because the bill that we were hearing had a lot of testimony and a lot of questions. We ran out of time. So Representative Scott was gracious enough to agree to hear this bill another day. So here we are. Representative Scott, would you like to move your bill? I believe it's going to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
All right, Madam Chair, yes, I'd like to put House File 351 before the committee for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill.
Thank you, Representative Scott. To your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In December, as we almost always do, legislators from Anoka Hennepin School District were invited by the school district to participate in a meeting that would go over their legislative platform and priorities. And so we did that by Zoom this year. And one of the legislative priorities that I noticed in their platform, and I have it right here, was to delay
the new science, English language arts, and social studies standards by 1 year each. And the reason that they wanted to do that is the materials, or at least one of the reasons that they have listed here, is that the materials and staff development costs of $2 to $5 million are incurred with each adoption. And I think the other side of this is just that, and it does say on their legislative platform, the to address the issues during this COVID, during COVID-19. And I think the other issue there is, you know, what is the best use of our teachers' staff development time and time and resources overall during this COVID pandemic where there's been a loss of learning. So this bill would also allow teachers and staff to focus more on that learning loss and getting kids caught up by having this 1 year suspension of the adoption of new standards. And so that is the bill. I know this was heard in the Senate on Friday. I believe they removed the reporting, the paragraph on reporting. And so I'm assuming, actually I'm surprised this bill doesn't have to go to education finance because there is a fiscal note attached with that. But the plan would be to eventually get rid of that paragraph requiring the reporting because that would put a fiscal note to this bill. But I believe Superintendent of Anoka Hennepin, David Law, is with us today and was planning to testify to this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Scott. And Mr. Law, are you?
Yes, I am. Chair Hassan,
right.
I'm
go
just
ahead.
My volume. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Hassan and members of the committee, Representative Scott, for authoring this bill and moving it forward. You're correct. This is on the Anoka Hennepin legislative platform. And really what we're looking at is the disrupted year we've had due to the pandemic and all of the energy we put around connecting and supporting our students. And that this bill would allow us, we would typically spend this year preparing our teachers for the new science standards, including curriculum adoptions and staff development, and getting ready for the next fall. So when kids walk in the building, our teachers are prepared to teach to the new standard. We've lost that opportunity. Just in terms of sheer days, our teachers might spend 90 days practicing with new materials so they get the student feedback and parent feedback on those materials before making a decision for $3 to $5 million and making that investment. This year, our students have been in person a total of 8 days as of today. We haven't had the time to let our teachers give us feedback on the materials needed to meet those standards. And putting students in front of teachers in the fall without that gives the students a significantly less impactful learning environment and, to be honest, frustrates our teachers. So I really appreciate the consideration of delaying this adoption for a year. We had a mutual agreement with the Department of Education on Friday afternoon, and I believe there's consensus around the delay of this adoption. It shouldn't put off, or the implementation, it shouldn't put off any adoption that's out there. That statutory timeline stays in place for science, social studies, ELA. This just delays implementation by a year and gives our teachers the time they need back in a regular school year, hopefully, to do a good job preparing for students. And with that, I'd open up for questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Law. I believe there is a public testimony from MDE. Adosh Oni is here.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, thank you. So Madam Chair, my name is Adosh Uni. I'm the Director of Government Relations from the Department of Education. Thanks for the opportunity to testify on HF 351 today. Representative Scott and MDE have had the chance to connect, and we were able to connect recently on some of our thoughts on the bill, and as Superintendent Law mentioned, some of the progress we've been making on trying to come to a consensus. We met with some of the supporters, including Superintendent Law, as he mentioned on Friday, and I think we're very close to some mutually acceptable language. I think it's just we're on a holiday weekend and we're just trying to hammer that out. But Superintendent Law mentioned some of the considerations we're taking, and the goal of the bill is really around implementation on the district side of the level. And so I would say that we're very much in support of ways we can help districts out. And provide some relief around COVID recovery. And one of the areas is around standards implementation. And we think the bill does in its current form provide a decent start towards that goal, but I just want to add a little bit more detail to what Superintendent Law said, just so we can be clear kind of where the department believes there needs to be some tweaks and some added language so that this is, rather than a catch-all, this is more of a specific, targeted, tailored relief for districts. So first, MDE strongly believes that that we should be able to continue our review and revision of the social studies standards. We're well into that process and it has no impact on district work in the 21-22 school year. Second, we would like to be able to have the ability to provide implementation assistance to districts and charters that seek it out. And it just does seem like in its current form, the bill does prevent that. So we just wanna make sure that we're an available resource for districts that are continuing to do work. Third, there may be some consequences as the bill's written to future implementation of the Minnesota Comprehensive Assessments, that's the state standardized exams, especially ones on science, which depend on multi-year implementation of standards in the classroom to be prepared for the first iteration of the new science test, which is aligned to the standards that were initially revised in 2018 and 19 and are set to be implemented in 23-24. And standards implementation and the timelines on which they function does have an impact on the tools that measure student achievement. So as I mentioned, we are working with Superintendent Law and other supporters to finally tune the language that addresses future assessments and standards implementation timelines. And we really believe that a longitudinal approach rather than a simple pause could provide this mutually agreeable solution. And finally, I would just like to note that we are also not supportive of the report required in subdivision 2, but we really appreciate the willingness of the author to remove that that subdivision. But with that, that concludes my testimony, and I stand for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Uni. I believe there is some work that you guys and Rep. Scott needs to do, and hopefully that can be done offline. I see Rep. Frazier has his hand up.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This question, this kind of came up with Mr. Uni when he talked about the MDE's position on pausing the review of the social studies. And I had concerns about that piece. And so this question goes to the author. Can you give us the justification or reason why we need to pause those particular reviews when I think it was stated quite clearly that's not going to impact anything because it's just a review now and it's not going to go into effect immediately?
Rep. Scott?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Frazier, for the question. In the drafting of the bill, I was just going off what I received from Anoka Hennepin, and I read that at my opening remarks. Delaying the new science, English language arts, and social studies standards by 1 year each. What I was doing is just taking what their request was and trying to put it into bill form, Representative Frazier. Thank you.
Rep. Frazier, do you have a follow-up?
No, thank you, Representative Scott.
All right, any other questions? I don't see any hands up. You guys are making this easier on me today. Oh, I see Rep. Mueller has her hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I also just wanted to say that as I have been talking, I have the honor of representing 27B, which is a more rural area of our state. And so I was doing a tour of Grand Meadow this past weekend, and this idea of trying to implement new standards had kind of come up as well, and talked about Rep. Scott's bill. They are in support of this and have asked me to make sure to, hey, listen, the rural areas need just as much of relief as anything else as well, trying to recover from COVID and getting, and all those different areas are really important, and so I know that the language is still being worked out and that we have some things that we need to kind of look at in agreement, but the idea of just giving us just a pause, a delay, was very reassuring for the superintendent that I was talking to. So thank you, Madam Chair. And
thank you, Representative Mueller. Representative Erickson, do you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair, for Mr. Uni.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Uni, you know, the fact that the department needs to focus on the learning loss that's occurring or has occurred in our districts. So, you know, please explain why you want to stay on track with, example, the science area, when we know very well that that's one of the academic areas, I'm afraid, that students have had little or no instruction in through their distance learning platforms. Maybe they've had some hands-on, but when you get down to the nitty-gritty of the standards and the benchmarks, I'm sure they're void in those, as we know they are in both reading and mathematics. So, you know, explain why the department's not focusing on, you know, the really important issue now is closing that achievement gap and helping all of our students. And that means district help, charter help, to catch up, to close that learning loss.
Mr. Oney?
Madam Chair, Representative Erickson, thank you for the question. I think that goes to one of the reasons why we continue to work on this language with the supporters. We really want to embed in there the ability to be able to continue to provide our implementation assistance to districts. And to your point as well, we agree with the overarching goal of the bill to provide some relief in the implementation of the standards for districts. And they've really identified science and ELA, which are up next for really implementing in the classroom. And if they, you know, if we don't disagree with the idea that that could provide some relief, and the tailored language that we'd like in there as well around the implementation of those new standards is to make sure that we don't create any confusion or lack of implementation. So we delay those timelines a little bit to make sure that we get them the appropriate implementation timeline for when the MCAs start, as well for our work when we need to do some field testing of those questions that go into the MCAs so that they're fully representative of the standards that have been implemented. But to the first point I was making, I think it's really important that the department is still able to provide that implementation assistance around all standards that are being implemented in the classroom right now.
Joseph Erickson, do you have a follow-up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Mr. Uni, I hope that the department is really focusing on learning loss, and that's where the focus needs to be now and throughout the school year and into the next school year. And you know, we need to be discussing innovative ways to address some of this. I think the focus on standard revision and the testing that will ultimately be a result of those new standards and benchmarks can wait. In fact, the legislature could officially delay a lot of that. But we really need to focus on the learning loss. And you know, I just can't tell you enough times how our children have lost out during this time away from their classrooms. So, you know, give us some innovative ways to deal with the learning loss instead of focusing on, well, we want to implement this and get going so we're ready with the science test. I think that's something that we need to really hold off on so that we can get our children caught up as much as possible. To give them hope that they're ready for the next level of learning. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Oney, do you have?
Yeah, Chair, thank you. I just wanted to provide some clarification that, you know, we do agree with ultimately the goal of the bill is to provide that delay so that districts can focus on the recovery efforts that they are so much very interested in doing next year. And I know this is a policy committee, but just to make everybody aware that the, you know, the governor, lieutenant governor, and department has put forward solutions for starting recovery this summer with academic enrichment to tackle learning loss, as well as mental health and behavioral supports through federal funding and through state funding for this summer. You know, we'll be talking about it as we go through. I know that there's very much interest in that. Representative Erickson, we also share that interest in providing various innovative solutions for combating a learning loss while also providing those supports that I discussed. But just to go to that point, I think the goal of the underlying goal of the bill is to put off implementation of the standards next year so that districts can continue to focus on recovery and learning loss. And I think that the standards team really can be focused on continued work, finishing out our rulemaking activities, finishing out our standards that we're currently working on so that we can also be prepared going into the future as well as we come out of this pandemic and having focused on recovery around learning loss.
Thank you, Mr. Oney. Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to make more of a statement. I really appreciate that people are bringing forward the fact that we need to be innovative and we need to look at learning loss, but I think we need to remember that there's been learning loss taking place long before the pandemic. We can see that in our numbers. We can see that there are huge achievement gaps in different areas. So to say that like this last year, we're just seeing these gaps is actually false. We've been seeing these gaps for a very, very, very long time. So I think whatever we implement right now, like taking away testing, that's great. We're not going to see the numbers for this year. But I mean, I think we really need to focus on closing those gaps. We know that when a student moves, they lose an average of 6 to 8 weeks of learning. And we know families move when they're in transition, whether they're homeless, whether they're moving because of foster care systems, whether they're moving because of job movement. And so I just think it's unfair to assume that the only time that we've had loss in learning is this last year. And I think we need to work together to move forward to make sure that this isn't an ongoing conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kaler. That is indeed a fact that, you know, we have shameful disparity numbers when we look at our education for our mainstream students versus our Black, Brown, and Indigenous students. So indeed, we have a lot of work to do, and it's my hope that we will continue to work together to help every student succeed. With that, I don't see any more hands. Like I said, you guys are making this easier for me. Representative Scott, I'm told that it's possible if there is a fiscal note, we can send this bill over to Education Finance another time. But do you want to renew your motion to lay the House File 351 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, and to Superintendent Law for a good discussion today. And so I would renew my motion that House File 351 be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus policy bill.
Thank you, Representative Scott. And I don't believe we have any other business, so we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.